Good morning. Bye, kids. Y'all have fun. Amen. Stacy's got a word for us. I'm going to let her read it because I left my classes upstairs.
So, you know, I get words from God, poetry and all that, but sometimes I get these words that are for the church. Today it's found in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Jesus went on to say, just like then, my Spirit yearns to fill you. Stop thinking things will go how you plan and simply seek me. And like at Pentecost, I will fill you like a wind and my fire will fill you. So we need to stop trying to do things in our own power and start letting God lead us.
It's a really good word. You guys all right today? Not the last time I'm going to ask you that. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Psalms chapter 116. While I get set up here. Psalms 116. The 116th Psalm. Oh, we are going to. We need to do an offering, don't we? And thank you, Francis. There are several ways that you could give. There's the mobile app, which is on tithe.ly, Tithely, which is a great way to do it, and your pastor's preferred way to give. But you can also give to a PayPal, and you look for it by looking for giving. If you search. PayPal for giving.arise@gmail.com. It takes you right to our PayPal account. And it's listed, of course. Remember, it's listed by what's our legal name? Agape Faith. Yeah, there you go. Don't look at me like that. At least we're not CTT oil and cattle. So anyway... And the other way is cash and check right here. And, of course, you can always send it to the post office box if the weather's bad. And hopefully this is the last time this year that it's gonna snow and ice and put us away on a Sunday. But if the roads are slippery and there's snow still everywhere, we won't have church. I do apologize for the parking lot. I like to have it a lot more cleaner than it is. But me and the snow removal man, we thought that it would end up de-icing all by itself, and it didn't. And he came out late yesterday and busted open the two berms over the driveway so y'all wouldn't have to jump the berms like I'd been jumping all week long. So anyway, it's good to be. I'd rather have you safe than here. Just think about that. Safe is better. Amen? Father, we just thank you for all the things that you bring into our life, the good things, the good people. Lord, the situations that stretch us and grow us. Lord, but we ask you to put some fertilizer on this seed as we plant it, Lord, in these cold months. And God, as these seeds lie dormant and they bloom in their season and produce the crop that you have for us. Father, we thank you that you're a good, good Father. Lord, we love you. We know that we're yours and that you're ours. We love you. Amen. All right, you guys find... there you go. That's where we're going. As soon as I get there. One of my favorite psalms. I have... Love this psalm since I was 19 years old. Man, I was such a kid. I That's some boots on right there, buddy. Sorry, I'm trying to make my font bigger. My iPad's reset, and there we go. It's not very long, so we're going to read the whole psalm. Or I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. I've already made you mad, huh, Lacey? I didn't expect a response, but that's good. Amen. Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on the Lord as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. And then I called on the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, I pray, save my life. And gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return my soul to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Therefore, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I keep my faith, even when I said I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. Well, he must have had some bad people in his life. But what shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of my salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Of course, for you and I, we're in the New Jerusalem, aren't we? You know, if I get too loud, say something, because I sound extremely loud. I've got these iPods? No, they're not iPods. AirPods in my ears, and they're using a microphone for the online. Hey, guys. And my hearing, which is usually not as well, is better. And it sounds really loud to me. So if I get too quiet, somebody raise your hand. If I get too loud, somebody, you know, go, you know. Anyway, amen. You guys all right today? Man, everybody made it through the snow okay? You had snow ice cream? Who went sledding? I didn't go sledding. I did not. And I haven't slipped down yet. Although, I went out, I was going to throw some trash out in the dumpster, and I went out the side door over here forgetting that it would have been a funny video if somebody would have got it. But anyway, amen. That stuff is bad, you know. I remember several years ago, we had two pastors that fell on the same day because they insisted on having church, and because it was just a little glaze. You know, it wasn't very much at all. One of them spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital, so we don't do that, do we? Amen? So back to the psalm. You know, the psalms are funny things. I love the psalms because they talk about, you know, I love the psalms the most that they come to God and they say, what is wrong with you? Why are you letting the evil rule and have power and prosper, and the righteous are starving? What's wrong with you, you know? Have you ever read those psalms? I can't remember the one off the top of my head right now, but I just love them because then they work through it, and then at the end of it, but I'll still praise you, and I'll be faithful to you, but they get real, you know? And people seem to think that you have to put on a good face with God, you know? I mean, it's almost like we have to treat God, I'm blessed and highly favored, or you know, he's not going to give us, he's you know, or somehow we're disappointing him. Let me just address that for a second. Because if there's one thing you learn that you should learn the entire time, or you should learn this year in 2026, if you haven't learned it before, is that Papa God has never been disappointed in you. Disappointment comes when there are expectations that somehow are not met in the eyes of someone else, right? And God does have high expectations for you, but he's never surprised at the mistakes that you make or the mistakes that I make. He's never surprised. He's never caught off guard. It doesn't come to him and go, I'd have never seen Tommy doing that. I bet those words have never come out of his mouth because Tommy's done some horrible things in his life. Here I am talking in third person. I know kids are going to get me for this. God is not disappointed with you. Somehow, but in the Psalms, they had a different covenant than we have, didn't they? They understood God a lot differently than we understand God. Sometimes we think when we read stuff in the Old Testament, because it's Hebrew scriptures and they were God's chosen people, that we give them more credit than they actually had. We think that if we go back far enough, we'll find somebody that understood God perfectly. And since then, since Adam was created, or since God talked to Abraham, or one of the great prophets, people have drawn farther and further away and get worse knowing God. But the Bible tells us that no one knew God, no one saw God until Jesus arrived. Right? You guys tracking with me? In Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact imprint of the expression of who God is. So everything you read in the Old Testament, because if you don't think about this and make a conscious choice, you fall into the trap of giving every scripture in the Bible the same weight. And every scripture in the Bible doesn't have the same weight. I mean, in Psalms 24, it talks about the holy place, the holy ground. And even in Exodus chapter 3, God tells, out of the burning bush, he tells Moses to take off his shoes, right? Because you're on holy ground. But the ground isn't holy in itself because, for one, you can't earn righteousness. Doing right things doesn't make you righteous. Doing right things makes you live righteously, right? Because you are righteous. The only righteousness that you and I have, the only righteousness that anyone in the Old Testament had, they got because God imparted his righteousness to them. And God imparts that righteousness to people. Not dirt. Even though we're walking, breathing dirt, we're not dirt. A place, there may be a holy presence there, but at the same, that's because God's present, or God's presence is acknowledged. Let's see it that way. Because good gracious, the disciples were in the boat and they were really scared. They thought they were going to die, right? They were in the presence of Jesus. And fear was overtaking them. Doubt was overtaking them in the presence of Jesus. But it wasn't until they acknowledged that there was Jesus there. I mean, that's what Peter did, right? Is that you walking out there on those waves? Because we think it's a ghost. We don't know what it is. But we're about to call, we're going to call the 1-800 paranormal channel and say, hey, come out here and film this. And Jesus said, it's me, come out. And all of a sudden, Peter's doubt turned into faith. Peter's his insecurity turned into confidence. and he stepped out on a substance that doesn't support weight, unless you're a boat. And Peter had enough words to be a big boat, but he wasn't a boat. It's about recognizing the presence of God. That's what this person is doing here in this psalm. He is recognizing, I have gone through whatever he went through in his life. Whoever penned these words, I have gone through, and it should have killed me. It could have killed me. It could have destroyed me. I could be in, for them, I could be in Sheol right now. For you, you would be in the presence of God's light right now. But instead, he said, I'm walking in the land of the living because you have preserved me. You have saved me because you've rescued me. There are a couple of old Pentecostal songs. One moment. And by Pentecostal, I mean apostolic. And they have the words in there based on this song. And it's, you've rescued me. Sorry. I guess I should have turned right back to all of you in the camera. Huh? Yes, I just put that right there because there's no trash can. I'll throw that paper away later. Whew. It's good to be real, man. Well, let's get into this. Because, see, I just wanted to stir your heart today. I wanted to build a fire in your heart because all of you know the stuff that we're going to cover, but I want to make sure that at the beginning of this year, and it's just the first Sunday in February, right? Can you believe it's February already? I cannot believe it's February already. So I want to give you, of course, I want to give you three things, and I'm going to expound on them a little bit, but this is stuff that you probably all know, but it's always good to be refreshed. I mean, what do teams do, right? Winning teams go back and they remember the basics. It's not just about learning new moves. It's about remembering the moves that you've done right since the beginning, right? And who's going to win next week at the Super Bowl? Who? Huh? Who'd you say? Seahawks. I don't know. I haven't looked at any of the odds. I don't know who's going to. I haven't watched a football game all year. No. I love it. No football game. So here we go. The first one is simple. We get this out of Colossians 3:14. It says, God has forgiven our sin. Notice that's past tense. And canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. Man, not just your sin. It doesn't say sins. It does say sins, doesn't it? It's plural. I wonder if it's plural in Greek. Because it's about what he canceled is not your ability to do something wrong. Because as your wives know, gentlemen, you still do something wrong, right? I can say that because I made Karen stay home today. I asked her to stay home today because I didn't want her slip sliding on the ice. She really wanted to come, but I said, you know, I can't afford you to fall and hit the ice. I just can't. I'm just not going to. I want you up and about when the weather's good, and you know you can go run marathons, whatever you want to do later. But hey, you know. Anyway, but I get away with a lot of that stuff when Karen's not here because she's, you know, she may be watching online. She could still be out, you know. Who knows? She could be watching. You better not be watching some other preacher. I tell you right, you're gonna go to hell, girl. I'm gonna regret that one, buddy. But God gives us the power to overcome our failures. How cool is that? How cool is God has already prepared for our failures. It's a shame John Wooden didn't have this idea. He didn't teach this idea. John Wooden was a great basketball coach. I forget, Bobby probably remembers the teams that he coached, but he was a great basketball coach, and he said he always taught, this quote goes back to him, is failure is not final. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And what God does is not just one time in our life. It is a continual cleansing. It is a continual, and get this, in Psalms 24, it says, who may approach the Lord, the Most High? He with clean hands and a clean heart. The Hebrew Paul said in Romans, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ came near to us. Do you get this? I'm trying to not only teach you something about yourself, but about the Bible also. I don't want you to read something in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, and give it power over what Jesus did in the New. Because a lot of people do. There are churches that still teach that if you bear a child out of wedlock, that you can't come into the presence of God for 10 generations. The fourth generation or fifth generation of an unwed mother, the first generation of an unwed mother built the first temple in Jerusalem. I mean, you just think about that. God doesn't care who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. He doesn't come to some people and say, no, your sins are too much. Or your mistakes. Or how you feel. This gives you the ability to grow. Because it gives you the ability to risk. Because if your failures, you know, people that don't have a lot of failures, they don't try very much stuff. They don't risk very much. You have to stretch, right? I'm not athletic, but I stretch my mind pretty good. And I expose my mind to things that I would have never thought I would have exposed my mind to 30 years ago. But now I see, oh, there's a different way to look at that. There's a different way to see what God is showing me. There's things I believe about the Word now I would have never believed 30 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 years ago. But you let God stretch you. You let God, because you're in this incubator, if you will. I mean, to put it frank, you just can't tick God off enough that he's done with you. And I don't want you to tick him off. I want you to give him permission to stretch you. Because your failures don't matter. Your failures don't add up. He doesn't come to you like Dr. Phil and say, well, you've got a long history of your failures, and the best predictor of the future is all your past experience, all your past actions. God doesn't psychoanalyze you like that. You know why? Because he declares the end from the beginning, and he sees you in with him in heaven. Actually, you are there in heaven in Christ, seated beside him right now, sitting beside the Father right now, while you're in this room. You're in two places at the same time. That messes with my mind. Because there's lots of times when I think, I should probably be there and not here. Right? You know? There's moments where having the understanding that God overcomes all of the failure. Look at it. It says he's forgiven all of our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. You don't have to pay anything. The power to move forward, the power to grow, the power to understand, the power to be at peace, the power to confront your doubt and say, Lord, help me with my belief. Amen? You guys all right? How many of you watched the video from last Sunday? Oh, that's good. We had people that watched it from, I don't know who they are. It was good. I'm glad that they watched it. I was so cold in here. I thought the temperature was set on 65. It was set on 50. So 15 minutes or 10 minutes into that message, my lips were like, they barely would even move. But anyway, number two. The power to keep you. I like this one. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul goes and he lists all this junk. And I just think, what is it? It's a wonderful thought, thinking that you are inseparable from Jesus. You are inseparable from Jesus. Where you go, he goes. This is why you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. Because like an atom's entangled particles, wherever one particle goes, the other one is also. It happens instantaneously. Even if those particles are on opposite sides of the universe, what happens to one happens to the other one. You're entangled with Jesus. Jesus is entangled with you. I don't know about that. When the devil comes to you and tells you how dumb you are, that's what he tells me, how much you're going to mess up, how threatens you with whatever he threatens with you. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been told by demonic forces that you're going to die. I'm going to make sure I kill you. And somehow I'm still here. But anyway, I know how, it's not somehow. It's the grace of God and the protection of God. But I'm here. I hadn't said that in a while. It must not be a threat anymore. Huh? Maybe I need to reconsider what I'm... Anyway. Nothing's going to separate you from God. You are inseparable. You ever seen two people? You'll see two kids, right? They get infatuated with one another. They're in love. To them, they're in love. But they're infatuated with one another. And they're inseparable. They're thinking about each other from different classrooms. When they go to bed at night, they go to sleep on the phone, right? Remember those days? Go to sleep talking to somebody. You ever done that? I never did when I dated Karen, because the phone in my parents' house, it was before mobile phones. The phone in my parents' house was on the wall with like a 20-foot cord, right? And it was one of those you remember those phones, right? And so it was in the kitchen because mom didn't want us to have her conversations that she couldn't hear. Yeah, there was no privacy in the Lee home. There was one law. It was Bertha's law, and that's the way it was. She probably didn't have it for sons. She probably had it for daughters. But anyway, it's good that she had it with sons. Anyway, so I used to make up stuff on the phone talking to my friends and freak her out. But anyway, because it was fun. But I never, when I talked to Karen, when it was like $65,000 a second to talk to her when she lived in New Iberia, a 10-minute phone call was like $45. Yeah, when I was making $3.15 an hour, that was an investment in my future, was what that was. I wrote that girl every day. I wrote her every day. You know how many times she wrote me back? Zero. Zero. Yeah, yeah. She still has those letters in a box somewhere. But God has the power to keep you. God has the power to be comfortable with you. God gives you the power to be comfortable with Him. You know, some people, when they talk to God, it's very, very formal. I used to do a voice when Keegan was small, because Keegan would always renegotiate. Whatever you offered him, he would renegotiate. It was, you know, let's go to McDonald's. We'll go get some chicken nuggets. You can play in there for an hour. And he goes, no, how about an hour and 15 minutes? You know, he's always, you know, renegotiating. So I used to make fun of him. I used to give him a British accent before he had one. And I would make play like I was him to make him mad, right? And I would do the, oh, Father, I so desire, you know, and I would just pour it on like that. But people talk like that to God. And I guess if you're British and you're posh, that's good. But I'm not British and I'm not posh. So usually when I talk to God, I just walk up and I talk to God. I bet you I said words to God you would never say to God. And he doesn't send me to the back room. He's not going to send you to the back room. Because you are inseparable from him. He wants you comfortable in his presence. He wants you to be... When Bridger was little, my grandson was little, and they would turn on Ward Street where we live. And he'd go, oh, he'd see the houses, and he's facing backwards, right? He faced backwards for a long time, and because it's a lot safer to face backwards than it is frontwards. And he would see the houses from the front of the street as they're coming down the road, and he's coming down the road backwards. It's funny to me thinking about it. But he'd go, hey, we're on Gigi and Poppy Street, because he felt comfortable at Poppy's house. He felt good around Poppy, which is, you know, because Poppy doesn't discipline, right? And which is why we're afraid to go into the presence of God, because we think he's mad at us and he's going to discipline us. But his discipline is restorative, not punitive. Punitive. Can't even get the word out. It's not about punishing you. It's about making you better. It's not about causing you pain. It's about causing you growth. When God has a sit-down, come-to-Jesus meeting with you, it's not about you're going to get fired. It's about, I've got a promotion for you. This is what's going to happen. I'm leading you to a new level. That's why you're struggling right now, because I've been increasing the weight that you've been dealing with, so that when you get to the new level, you'll be strong enough to stay in the level. Amen? Amen? You are inseparable from God. What if I do something really bad, Tommy? Well, people are bad. Some people are worse than others. God's love and God's redeeming ability is bigger and more vast than anything we could do. Amen? So the third thing is, you guys ought to be happy with this one, because it's the third thing. My son Cody, he had to go take care of some stuff. And the drummer is my son. For those of you who didn't know, I'm sure everyone knew, because we do kind of favor. He doesn't have gray hair like I have. He's handsome. And he, you know, he's got a lot of Crispin jeans, he's got the good Crispin jeans. Dug myself in a hole. I don't know what I'm going to get out of it now. He asked me, he goes, give me the 3 points, so, you know, because I'm not going to be here. And I did. But anyway, here we go. The power to become in your life. He gives you the power to become. Now, John 1:12 says, you should know this one by heart, because I quote this scripture very often. And it's as many as believed on the name of Jesus. Jesus gave the power and the right to become sons or daughters of God. I don't know about you. But walking through life, knowing that He not only made a way for you to become a son or a daughter, He gives you power to grow in that role. He gives you power to move in that role. He gives you power to walk in security and confidence in that role. When the devil comes to you and tries to belittle you and tell you that you're like who you were, he's lying to you. I mean, when he says stuff to me, I always take the opposite, because he can't tell the truth, right? But walking through life knowing that you have this power, that who you are in this moment is not who you will be in the next. Because it's a becoming force. That word becoming in the Greek, in Exodus 3, when Moses asked God, when I go to Pharaoh, who should I say sends me? He said, we know that he says, I am that I am, right? But the Hebrew and the Greek equivalent is the same equivalent as become in John 1:12. It is, I will be what I will be. I become what I become. God is giving you this power inside of you that fuels your inheritance, your heritage in Him, that changes your DNA, that makes you like Him and less like who you were before, that makes you, it qualifies you to be in the kingdom, to be lavished with His love in the family, to be in the circle, to be in the tight circle. You're in the circle of people that God trusts the most. Every person in this room, in the sound of my voice, God has given you the power to become sons and daughters, and the enemy hates that worse than anything. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness, the question that Satan asked Jesus, if you are the Son of God, right after he had come out of the muddy river Jordan and God had spoken over him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And when he spoke that over Jesus, he spoke that over you, because you were already in him when he was dunked and when he was raised up. You were already in Jesus at creation. You were already in Christ at creation. You were already in the Anointed One. The connection that you have with God, with the triune God, with the Father and the Son and the Spirit leading you and guiding you into all truth, we can become, we can grow, we can live better days than we lived before. The things that happen in our life that want to drag us down, or that cause us grief or sorrow, we have a way through those things. We have a way to experience the joy that He has for us, the peace that He has for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's just end it right there. It's a good time to beat the Baptist to the restaurant. No offense, Jason. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Everybody be careful. Make sure you don't go out those side doors right there. And whatever you do, if there's ever ice before you go under the awning, you can drive over it, but don't ever walk over it, because just don't do it. Father, we just thank you God, that you've kept us safe this week. Lord, we thank you that the river didn't give up on us and we had water all week long. We thank you, Lord, that you have spring on the way. And God, it will be a beautiful spring with beautiful colors, nice, warm, breezy weather. And Father, we ask that you protect these people, their families and their friends, that you open doors of ministry for them and divine opportunities and divine appointments, God. Father, that your goodness runs them down and overtakes them, that your mercy and your love and your grace wake them up every morning and remind them that they're sons and daughters of the Most High. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.